Hello, this is Saul Gonzalez, lead pastor of Lifehouse Church, and welcome to our podcast. Thank you so very much for joining us today. I believe that through this message, God will encourage you, challenge you, and better yet, change you for the glory of God and for the purposes God has called you. Enjoy this message. You may be seated. And this morning, I want to take time, just a moment, that we want to, in Jesus' name, I want to welcome everyone to our online ministry this morning. Lifehouse Delano, Lifehouse Wasco, Lifehouse East Bakersfield, Coachella Valley, and then Lifehouse here in Oildale. Let's give the Lord a clap offering, and let's welcome our Lifehouse family and friends to another transmission and ministry from Lifehouse to your house, and I pray to your heart. I'm going to encourage you to have you open your Bibles with me or get ready. We're going to be reading in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11, the book of the chapter of faith, verse 7. And I want to talk about your reset. Once again, we're going to close this month your roadmap to a reset, your reset to a roadmap or your map to having this reset be successful, to have it really stick and have it have the effects that you need, that we trust, we believe that God has already for you as a believer, is that we're not just taking a journey and a pilgrimage without a destination. This is not just like, let's see what happens and let's throw caution to the air or to the wind. No, but every believer, I believe that God has a plan, has a customized map that you should already understand and connect with. That is the word of God, but also the directions that God gives. It is not just the word of God sitting idly in your phone or in your lampstand at home, but it's the word of God in you. You reading it, interacting. Jesus says in John 10 that if my word is in you and you are in my word, then you are my disciples. You are my disciples. You are part of Jesus's flock, if you will. And that Jesus says, my sheep, they know my voice and they follow me. They know my voice. And in order for you to know God's voice, Jesus's voice, you need to know his word. And so we've been in a journey of reading God's word. We've been reading the book of Ephesians. This month, we're finishing the book of Philippians. We're reading the book of John. Most of our kids, I think maybe Sarah needs a few, but all of our kids have read the book of John. My wife, Linda, and yours truly. This month, we've read John 21 chapters during our 21-day reset. Today, we're going to thank God for that 21-day reset. And I'm going to invite you for 60 days of just following us. 62 more days till Easter. 62 more days. And we're going to have Easter. We're going to celebrate it. And we're going to be sharing with everyone, including the audience, how we want you to connect. Next Sunday, we're going to be issuing the book of James, and it's just a study guide. It's a study guide. It's really simple. It's called the SOAP method, where you read the scripture. The S is for scripture. The O is for your observations that you want to write, what you're sensing that God is saying through scripture, through the book of James. And then the A is for application. What is it that you're going to do that day, this week? How are you going to apply this truth, this declaration, this breakthrough that you're sensing, this inspiration is application. And then the P is to close in prayer and saying to God, God, after this study, after reading this chapter, I want to have this work and make it count for eternity. So I want to encourage you, everyone in the audience, this is not idle time. This is not filler. This is what you need to do to take your life to the next level, make this reset count for eternity. Follow God's directions. Be able to read a map and be able to follow the guidelines, the steps for truly making your life and those around you that God has placed around your sphere of influence and the canopy of your influence, make that ministry and make your life count for a lifetime. Today, I want to talk about lessons for unpredictable and unprecedented times. Lessons for unpredictable and unprecedented times. And we go to the story of Noah, and it's found in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, 7, 8. You'll find the whole story of Noah. It's really powerful and compelling. It would be a great read for all of us tonight to just read the storyline. And in essence, that God became frustrated with the world. the world became a lost world. They followed after their passions, after their lust. The Bible says that during that time, everyone just thought of evil. Everyone. And back then, our patriarchs would live 800, 700, 1,000 years, or 969 was Methuselah, which the longest living person that the Bible says, because they lived a long time. And just think about it, that if you and I can wreak havoc in 60 years, I'll say that again, you and I can wreak havoc. Most people, I mean, just give them 60, 70 years, and a lot of it is not well employed. Imagine if you knew you had almost eternity. That I believe that you would lose your spiritual moray. You would lose your convictions. Many of us would little by little become not better, but we would become more perverse. And that's what happened. So God established that 120 years would be the life of man. Later on, he gave them a 70-year span for most people, 70 years. And no matter the technology, no matter how much scientific accomplishments have advanced, that is still today pretty much between 70 and 80 is the lifespan of most of us. And if you stay healthy. What I want to say is that the time is short, and then all of us have the responsibility to make it count for eternity. But God saw something else in Noah. He saw virtue. He saw integrity. He saw that he walked uprightly. And he saw something in him that he was willing to salvage, willing to save, not just Noah, but his family, because God was going to do the greatest reset until the history of humanity of all time. And that is basically hit the reset button, wipe out humanity, because humanity was lost. It was lost beyond remedy, beyond solution. Jesus Christ could have came himself, and they would have not paid attention. So God decided to start all over. And it hurt God. He regretted, the Bible says. It pained him deeply to have made man and give man free agency, freedom. He gave them this power that is called a free agency. Everyone here is a free agent. You are not a mechanic, or you're not a robot. You're not told what to do from anyone. And at the end of the day, you choose. Your decisions are yours and yours only, especially once you've reached the age of maturity or the age of accountability. People begin to make calculus, to make decisions based on your own morals or your own convictions, your own principles, your own internal compass, your values that you decide to live on or live with or live by, the values you decide to live by. And so I want to caution everyone. I want to encourage everyone. So God was going to do a reset and wipe out all humanity, but he saw Noah, and he stood when he saw Noah, he says, I can't do this to Noah. And not only Noah, but he decided to save the family. Let's read with me Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, everyone say with me, by faith. Noah built a large ship. It was by faith that Noah built a large ship to save his family. Everyone say with me, save the family. Say it with me, save the family. So it was just not Noah. It was the family that was God's objective. Save them from the flood in obedience to God, who warned him of the things that had never happened before. Here it is, things that had never happened before. I want you to just understand that something was going to happen that was a cataclysmic. It had never happened. It was a calamity and a cataclysmic event that had never happened. It was, in essence, the end of the world. It was not unlike the Bible says that it would be like today, that in the last days, it would be like the days of Noah. And I believe that we are living, everyone here, everybody that is online, we are living in days that are unprecedented. There's a 100-year plague that basically caught the world unawares. And I don't know of one person, by the way. I don't know of one family. I don't know of one institution. I do not know of one institution, one church, one family, one person that has not been affected adversely or infected technically or physically with COVID-19. I'll say that again. Either infected or affected. And I don't know of any family. I don't know that of anybody's finances, economy, maybe business that has not been impacted by this plague. But what God is allowing in these last days that I believe that are going to bring us in line with the days of Noah. And I believe that we need to learn from Noah, from lessons, epic lessons from Noah and from God's heart with respect to Noah, of what you and I need to do, not only to have a successful reset, but to reach a successful journey. so that you can navigate these times and these days with wisdom. The Bible says that he warned Noah of the things that would come that had never happened before. And then by faith, he received the righteousness that comes by faith. And so I want to just share that Noah was not just a just man. Not only was the Bible says he was blameless, that he lived on this earth, but the Bible also says that he walked in intimate communion with God. He walked with intimate communion with God. This is not just the story of a ship that was built. This is the story of an ark that was built for the first time ever. It was a new concept. It was never even thought of before. No man thought of a ship. No man thought of building a boat. It was God's plan. It was the ark of Noah. A lot of people may not even know Noah. They might not know the stories. And there's a little bit, not too much said about Noah, other than he was righteous. But everybody knows about the story of Noah's ark. Everybody in the world knows the story of Noah's ark. That what that tells me is that God is interested in having not just something novel for something novel. God is not looking at novelty just because. He's not trying to shift and change people just because God is bored. He's trying to get your attention. He's trying to get the world's attention. I believe that this world is cycling through, is that there is an acceleration process that I believe that COVID's only made it more clear for the people that have their act together, for people that have their relationships, for relationships and marriages that are strong. COVID's only made you stronger. It's only made you better. But for relationships that are weak and fragmented and fragile and struggling, for businesses that were already struggling, churches that were struggling, I think COVID is an accelerator. I think that COVID's only exposed our weaknesses, exposed the fissures and fractions of our family structures, our relationships, and our kids. And so I want to encourage you this day. God put a message in my heart with respect to how to preserve, how to ensure a safe ending to this journey, how to make sure that you're part of God's prophetic blessing, yet you're part of God's church that is raptured, because the rapture can happen any moment. At any moment, the rapture of the church of Jesus Christ can happen. How many believe that? I want to tell you that at any moment that could happen. So here's some lessons that I want to share with you that firstly, that Noah had no problem with what people will say. Noah had to decide that he had no problem up there. Thank you for your help. That he had no problem with a hearsay. What are people going to think and say? I want to tell you that a lot of us are bogged down. The part of your problem, my problem, is that we care way, way too much what people, what your friends, what even family members are going to think and say when they know that you're all in for God, when they know that you are a committed Christian, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, when you begin to read your Bible and begin to earnestly walk in keeping with God's plan for your life, with righteousness, that you say no to the world, you say no to temptation, that you need to be like Noah. He, at the end of the day, Peter says that he was criticized. Peter, the Gospel of Peter, the Apostle Peter, says like in the days of Noah, that there was resistance. There is no doubt Noah had his critics, and you will have your critics. And if you're going to succeed, you're going to be able to, you need to be able to put your critics in place, because nothing really matters except what God says ultimately to you. What God is speaking, what God says in his word, what God speaks to you by his spirit, what God says through a pulpit that is anointed, or what God is speaking through you, other spiritual counselors. It doesn't matter what people says. The only thing that matters is what God says. How many say amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. The other thing that Noah did that you need to do and I need to do is that Noah faithfully followed the blueprint that God entrusted to him. That Noah faithfully followed the plan. And so the plan is in the word of God. The plan is for you to know Christ, for you to grow and develop spiritually, for you to mature, for this truth of that's in the word of God to be incarnate with you, to be have you be one in the same with the word of God. And that's not going to happen unless you read the word of God, unless you and I together as a church engage in this journey of discipleship, of growing and knowing God, and then working and going and sharing God. Each and every one of us has something powerful that God has done in your life. If you're born again, you have a story. You have a story worth sharing. You have a testimony worth giving. God has done things in many, many of our lives that unless you share them, they're kept with you and they don't have the power of blessing others. So Noah faithfully followed the blueprints that God trusted to him. An original plan, unprecedented, one-of-a-kind blueprint that would require a strict adherence and attention to detail. If he and his family was going to survive the worst storm ever in the history of this world, if he was going to survive, not just one day of rain, it was not a 3, a 5 day, a 10 day, a 15, a 25, a 30 day. It was 40 days of just the heavens opening up. It was a water like never before. It was a deluge, if you will. It was a flood of unproportional or a biblical proportions, never before unprecedented. And if he was going to survive, if that boat was going to survive, he would have to follow God's instructions to the letter. How many say amen? And so you and I, that this Noah, despite of never having seen a ship, faithfully assembled the raw materials and built the vessel as though his life and the life of his family depended on it, because it did. So I want to say that again, that Moses put together and followed God's instructions, the materials, the raw materials, the gopher wood, the asphalt, the oil that was going to be applied so that it would be, so that the water would not permeate its walls. Just think of it. Never done before. Today, there's a way to seal, to waterproof things, boats. Back then, it was just wood on wood. How do you seal it so that the wood, so that it doesn't permeate the gaps, if you will? And what I want to tell you is that it was an incredible endeavor. And he had to follow God's instructions as you and I need to follow the instructions as though your family depends on it, because it does. So how would you build a life if your relationship depended on it? If those that you love, your children, for those of you that have children or grandchildren, how would you build it if your family depended on it? There's a lot of weak and cheap construction out there when it's for somebody else. But what if the construction is for you? What if your own life? What if your career, your future marriage, your future relationship, for those that are single, and you're thinking of making that right relationship count, follow God's instruction. If you're single, do not ever consider being unequally yoked. Don't even consider dating a person or a man or a woman that is not in faith, that does not love God, that does not worship God, does not cry and weep in the presence of God. You are basically, it's a spiritual crapshoot. You are rolling the dice. And it is something that God says, do not be unequally yoked. How many say amen? And so you need to build. You need to walk. You need to worship God as though you, your life, and those that God has placed in your care and keeping, as your life depends upon it. How many say amen? Genesis chapter 7, verse 5 says this, that Noah did everything according to what the Lord commanded him. That Noah did everything. Everybody say everything. Everything. Say it again, everything. Everything according to what the Lord commanded. Jesus says that if you're just a hearer of the word of God, you just hear the word of God, but you do not do it, you're a fool. That's what Jesus says. He will consider you foolish, like somebody who's building on quicksand, on sand. But he that hears my words and does my words, I will consider him a wise person. Because when the floods come, when the weather, the inclement weather hits, the winds, the floods, the earthquakes, that what you are building, your home, your family, your relationships, they will stand the test of time and the test of storms. Because you are built, you built your family, your relationships, your life, your business, your endeavors, your career. You built it on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. How many say amen? The other thing that Noah did is that he involved his family, and in doing so, he saved it. I want to say this again to every parent, every grandparent. Moses involved his family, and in doing so, he saved it. In doing so, he saved it. And by extension, Noah saved humanity. He saved creation. He saved every species. Two by two, they began. God, this is how did his sons know that God was in it? There were things that were happening that were very, very that were not normal. How did he make it a family affair? Let me just say to somebody here on camera or online, or those of you here, if you said that you're going to do something that is totally unprecedented, totally out of the map, off the map, if you will, who would believe you? And I would dare say that maybe if your kids, if your family doesn't believe in you, why would anyone else believe in you? So if your own family doesn't believe in you, now this is no small thing. Hey guys, we're going to build a boat. And then Shem said, what's a boat? Cam says, what are you talking about? It's never even rained. It's never even rained. What is? They had no concept what a boat was And yet they believed the old man. They believed Noah. And they became part of something that together they were able to save the family. Also, I want to just share that Noah succeeded in making God's mission for his life a family affair. I want you to catch that. Can you succeed in making God's mission for your life a family affair? Can you do that? Can you accomplish that by making it a family affair and getting all the kids and all your children or all your grandchildren knowing the story? How did you get saved? Sharing with your kids, sharing with your grandkids how God has been good to you and how their faith should be placed in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Here's some takeaways that I want you to take with you that all of us, I pray, can just inculcate in your heart and in your mind and your spirit. The first is that the rewards of living differently are worth the sacrifices. The rewards of living differently is worth the sacrifice. That for you to live for Christ will require a sacrifice, will require you to define who you are and why we don't do things, why we don't walk in keeping and in cadence with this world. We don't do what this world does. We don't behave like this world behaves. We don't walk the way this world walks. We shouldn't talk the way this world talks. Why? Because you are children of the light. Why? Because you and I are children of God. Why? Because God has called you and me to be light in a dark world. How can you be darkness and be dark and impact this world? God has called you to be salt and light. How many say amen? It is worth listening to God, living for God, paying the price, staying the course, enduring the process of becoming a disciple, a believer, somebody that walks in keeping with God's word. Romans 10:11 says that scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Anyone who trusts in God, if you place your trust, if you confess him as your Lord and Savior, if you walk in keeping with his commandments and his will, word, way, and work for you, that you will never lose your way. People may be your critics. People may try to shame you. But those that trust and put their trust in Jesus Christ will never be put to shame. That is why Noah and Abraham and Joseph and Moses and Joseph and Joshua and Caleb, they had a different spirit. That's why God honored them. That's why God used their families to make an impact in a lost world. That's why when even the Israel was captive and they were in a strange and foreign land, even when they were in a strange and foreign land, they lived differently. I want to say that again. They lived differently. They worshiped the God of Abraham. They didn't give in and do idol worship. People like Nehemiah, he was a cupbearer and he found favor of God. Mordecai, he just never bowed to Haman, never bowed to the world. And later on, he's at the steps of the palace, and then you find him at the end inside the palace, and he's number two to the king. After the king, it was Mordecai. Esther, it was not just about external beauty. She was not just about all herself. She was not some conceited, self-absorbed girl who became a queen because she was pretty or beautiful. She had integrity. She was beautiful on the inside. She had convictions. At the end of the day, she put her life at risk, and she says, if I perish, I perish in a foreign land. In a foreign land. Why? Because she had a relationship. She had a relationship with the God of Israel, with the God of Abraham. And we could talk all day about Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, about their convictions. They lived differently. They were willing to live differently. How many say amen? And don't get wooed in by this world. Don't get convinced drawn in by this world. This world will try to draw you in to live like this world, but don't do that, because living differently, living righteously is worth the sacrifice. The rewards are worth the sacrifice. The other thought I want you to take home with you is that your relationship with God is your platform. That your relationship with God is your platform and your passport to greatness, not just for survival, but to significance and enduring success. I want to say that again. Pastor, what's the key? So what's the key? You having your own personal daily relationship with Christ Jesus. That's the key. You having and walking and having and worshiping the one true God and seeing Jesus Christ as our model, as your high priest, as your Lord and your Savior. Not just a platform, not just your foundation, but your passport. Not just to survive this time. Boy, I barely made it. Boy, thank God I barely made it to heaven. No, sir. No, ma'am. God wants you to be significant. God wants you to enjoy success that is enduring, that is communicable, if you will, that is contagious. The other thought is that you must endeavor to save the family no matter the cost. That every couple here, every married person, every dad, single mom, single parent, every grandparent that is here, that you and I must endeavor to save the family no matter what the cost. No matter what it costs you, no matter what it costs, you and I need to trust God, because the cost of losing your home, the price of losing a marriage, or having our kids walk away from God, stray away from God, it's too high and too painful. That you and I will regret deeply the pain, the shame, the blame that comes along when our kids are not connected with God. And nobody, I'm not talking about guilt trips. I want no parent, no grandparent struggling with guilt trips, but I'm telling you, it's not too late to get them into the ark. I want to say that again. It's never too late to get our kids or our children or our grandchildren to trust Christ as their Lord and Savior and get them into the ark, because it is the act of coming into the ark. The Bible says that in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible says that he told Noah, you get yourself and your family, and then he names them by name, Shem and Cam and Japhet. And your wife, he says, and the wife and your daughter-in-laws into the boat. And the Bible says in verse 13, verse 7, chapter 7, that all of them, and he names them by name, they walked in and they stepped into the ark of Noah's ark, and they were saved. Real quickly, my last thoughts here is that don't hold on to the past. You can't waste time by regretting and shaming yourself and hurting yourself or blaming yourself. There's nothing there for you. So let go of the past. Don't get stuck there. Remember that the opportunities in front of you are greater than the opposition that you're going to face. That the opportunities God has are greater than the opposition. The blessings are greater than the price that you're going to have to pay. And then lastly, I want to kind of bring this to a close here. God's great causes and constructions require time and tenacity. That God's great causes and constructions, that if God's put a cause in your heart, that if God is going to build in your life, you're going to build an ark, a relationship with God, a relationship with your loved ones, a relationship with your family, that is of great cause, that is worth the trouble, that it will require time. Nothing great was built like from one day to the other. Nothing great of significance is built just casually and without a price. And without paying the price of time, of process, and tenacity. You're going to have to insist. When by the time God spoke to Noah, and he says, I'm going to preserve your life. By the time he finished building, there was 120 years. He built the ark probably in between 70 or 75, 65 to 75 years. It didn't take him 120 years. Those that study the Bible can see when his kids were born. And it was God. Before he had his children, he had a relationship with God. And then he had the Shem, and then he had Cam and Japheth, and there was a different times. But it probably took him a lifetime. Listen, for it would be a lifetime to us, 70 to 75 years to build the ark as a family. What I want to say is that you're not going to build a family overnight. Having kids doesn't mean you're going to be successful. It's going to be an endeavor of a lifetime. That succeeding at parenting is an endeavor of a lifetime. What I want to share is that it's going to take time and tenacity on your parts. Would you bow your heads with me? Those of you that are online, would you just right now also just connect with God and ask yourself, are you in God's plan? Are you in God's will? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you going to be able to enter into this ark and be saved yourself and, more importantly, your family? And for that, you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to strengthen that relationship if you have one. You need to shore it up. You need to dig deep. And you need to know that we're going to be still going through times of great testing. I believe that this world, I believe that the United States, I believe that we here, wherever you find yourself, you're going to be tested like never before. And I'd like for you to be totally in, have a relationship with Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then commit to attending a church that preaches the Word of God, that worships God, that is going to lead you step by step in growing in your relationship with Christ Jesus and become a disciple that follows Jesus and then helps others follow Jesus. And I pray right now for that to be the case in your life. For those of you online, I pray God's blessings. I pray encouragement. I pray enlargement. I pray wisdom, that God would give you the wisdom to be able to navigate the uncharted waters, the choppy waters that we are now living in, uncertain times, that what God would give you direction, that God would lead you, that by His Spirit, you take step after step and you say yes to God in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, to the glory of God the Father. And for those of you online, we want to just thank you for your prayers. We need them more than ever. Thank you for your offerings, your gifts. They're a blessing to this church, to this movement. And then pray. Connect with a Bible reading. Connect with prayer. And then we'll see you right around the next service. We look forward to seeing you in short order. God bless you. God bless you. And God bless you.
Thank you so very much for joining us today on the Lifehouse Podcast. I pray and hope this message has encouraged, inspired, and challenged you to grow closer to God. If you would like to be a part of what God is doing here at Lifehouse, visit our website at lifehousechurch.com. That's lifehousechurch.com for more information, or consider subscribing and share it with one of your friends and family. Thank you again for being part of our journey, your journey, that will lead you to know God better, grow together, and go serve and make a difference. Thank you again. God bless you. See you next time.